Lord, we just thank you for your presence here so strong with us tonight. Father, we just love you. We honor you. We bow our hearts before you this night. Oh, Jesus, we just, once again, all over again, we say, Lord, I give myself to you. I submit my heart and my life to you. All that I am, all that I have, I surrender it to you, Lord Jesus. Oh, for when I am in your hands, I am in good hands, and all is well. All is well as I'm in the hands of the Lord and in his care. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Amen. Well, at this time, we'll let the classes be dismissed. I know the nursery class is already up there. And we'll let the youth go to their classes, and you can be seated. Hallelujah. We're happy to have our visitors here tonight. Welcome. I'm just happy to have you. Hallelujah. We serve a good, good God. So, so wonderful and good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God is a good God. I'd like to pray before I start. Lord, I just thank you for this night. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you that your word will be alive to us. I thank you, Lord, for utterance, for a clear voice, and just for your anointing on this word, that it enter into our hearts and become part of who we are. We just thank you, Father, for your word. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to be covering some things that a lot of us may know and have heard, but it's kind of something we need to hear every day. So, and the Lord put it on my heart. We're going to talk about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of darkness, life, death, blessing, cursing. And we have somebody on the scriptures. Nina will be there in a little bit. You can go ahead and be turning to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And we're going to read verses 19 and the first half of 20. And I'm reading everything tonight in the King James Version, unless I tell you otherwise. In just a minute, we'll have the scriptures up on the board too. But we'll start when you find Deuteronomy. We'll go ahead and get started on this scripture. Hallelujah. Nina's changing hats. She's going to lean, sing, to putting up those words for us. Okay. Deuteronomy 30:19. And the Lord speaking, and he said, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. So when we choose life, it's not only for us, but it's for our offspring, for our children. Hallelujah. And that is so. If it wasn't for us, we should choose life for our offspring, for our children. Amen. Verse 20, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him. I love that, that you may cling to him. So we love the Lord, we obey his voice, and we cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. Hallelujah. We cling to the Lord. Amen. Then a familiar scripture that we all know real well, John 3:16-18. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes him is not in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he's not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. So here in this verse, we have a condemned side and a blessing side. And all we have to do to get to the blessing side is believe in Jesus. And it's real simple. He made the way real easy for us. The kingdom of God is the sphere of government where King Jesus reigns. The kingdom began on earth when God created Adam and Eve and set them as rulers over what he had made. From the beginning, being part of the kingdom was a free choice. God wanted people to love him and fellowship with him because they wanted to. He never meant to have robots, and he didn't make people love him. It was always a free choice. When Adam and Eve made the decision to be independent of the rule of God, they disobeyed him. They chose to disobey God. At that time, they moved from the kingdom of God to the kingdom of darkness, and Satan became the prince of this world. But then in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, he gained back the legal right to the kingdom, and he was set on the throne far above all else, far above every principality, every power, every might, every dominion. Jesus took the keys back. He gained the kingdom back, and he was exalted on high, and so Jesus has it. And then when he went to heaven, he delegated that authority over to the church, over to his disciples. And so mankind has become the door through which either the rule of Satan or the rule of God is established on the earth. Hallelujah. And so right now we have a battle of the two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And when we make Jesus our Lord, we're in the kingdom of light, but there still is the kingdom of darkness here for those that are living there. Hallelujah. In Jesus' life, he lived in total dependence on his Father. He lived in complete obedience to his Father God, and he made himself fully, completely available to the Holy Spirit. In John 6:38, Jesus said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." And we were born again not to just keep doing our own thing. We were born again to do the will of our Father. That's why we're here. We were born into the kingdom of light to do the will of our Father. And to enter the kingdom of God, the first step is to repent. We're going to Matthew 3, 1 through 2. And it says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" In Greek, the word repent is metaneo, which means to think differently. And I'm going to read verse 2 in the Amplified Version. It makes it real clear. It said, "And saying, 'Repent, think differently, change your mind, regretting your sins and changing your conduct, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." To really repent, you have to realize that it's wrong to live a life where you are in control, making all the decisions, your own decisions. What's wrong with humanity is everyone is taking charge of their own life, and they're not letting God rule. When we let God rule in our life, then all is well. Being independent and doing our own thing is the basic problem. And sin is the evil fruit that this produces. When we do our own thing, sin comes out. The root of all sin is selfish independence. God is a good God, and he always has his arms of love open and always ready to forgive. And according to 2 Corinthians 5:19, God doesn't hold our sins against us. He's always, always there wanting to reconcile us to him. He's wanting us to bring us home to him. That is God's heart. He gave his life for all because he cared for every person. He wanted them all. And he's always here like this saying, "Come home, come back to me." But if we continue to walk in sin and in rebellion to God, we are living in darkness. You know, we put ourselves under the rule of darkness when we're living in sin. And when we're submitted to God, we're living in the kingdom of light. When you're in the United States, you're subject to the rule of the United States. When you're living in Mexico, you're subject to the rules and the laws of Mexico. And so a person might be born in the United States and they choose to live in Mexico, and when if they choose and give their citizenship up and decide to live in Mexico completely, they have lost their rights in the United States. And so we may have been born again in the kingdom of God, but if we choose to go and live in the kingdom of darkness, we're under the laws of the kingdom of darkness. And so, but it's real easy to repent and come back into the kingdom of light. But there are laws that govern the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. James 4:7 tells us to submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. You need to be submitted to God to be able to resist the devil. But when we're submitted to God and we do resist the devil, he has to flee, because when we're submitted to God, we're in the kingdom of light and the devil has no authority here. So we can say, just get out of here, and he has to go. Amen? And if we find sin in our life, and you know, we all sin, because, you know, there's sins of the heart, sins of the flesh, you know, being fearful is a sin. Being anxious and worried is a sin. And these things in the world we live in tend to affect us. And so it's important, you know, when we find things like that in our life, just immediately repent. Say, God, I trust in you. I give my life to you. I submit my life to you. Hallelujah. And it's real easy. And just like Jesus, we need to live in dependence on our Father God. We need to live in obedience to our Father, and we need to make ourselves available to the Holy Spirit to use. Amen. And if there ever was a time we need to be on the side of God's blessing, it's now. Okay, we're going to Ephesians 3:20. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Our thoughts are important to being blessed. God can give us answers through our thought life. When our thought life's right, we're closer to the answers. You know, are we thinking what fills our thoughts? Do we think poverty? Do we think sickness? Do we think that we're inferior? Do we think of impossibilities? Do we think negatively? When we think negatively, that our faith is hindered, because that doesn't go with faith at all, and so we have a hard time receiving from God. So it's important that our mind and our thoughts be according to the Word of God. Romans 12:2. Says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, how do we renew our mind? We put our mind on the things of God. We read the scriptures, we meditate on the word, we hear messages, we spend time praying to the Lord and talking to the Lord. And as we put our mind on the things of God, that renews our mind, where we start thinking like God thinks. And instead of thinking like the world thinks, we start thinking like God thinks. 2 Corinthians 10:5 is a command for us. And it says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. So most battles go on in our mind. And that's where we have to cast down those thoughts that's not godly and bring them into the obedience of Christ. You know, all sin starts with thoughts. Nobody ever goes and robs a bank without thinking about it first. They put a lot of thought and effort into it. They thought about it a whole lot, and they finally try it, you know. And that's the way with this. Every sin starts in the mind. And so that's where our battleground is to get our thoughts on the Lord and think about the Lord. Hallelujah. This next scripture is just real, real important. We're going to 1 Corinthians 10:10. And it had been in the previous verses, it had been talking about the children of Israel that died in the wilderness. And it said, nor complain. And complain there means grumble, murmur, whine. as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Every one of us needs to put a sign on our bathroom mirror and on the refrigerator. No whining. God's not pleased when we whine and complain and murmur. Hallelujah. That's not pleasing to him. And we heard quite a bit about that when we went to the meeting in Tucson. Cindy Jacobs, she was saying, no whining. She said, this is a year of the whirlwind, and there's going to be some storms pass through, and sometimes storms is hard on our flesh, but no whining. Just keep our trust in the Lord and live for the Lord, and that's just really good. Matthew 12:34, and I'm going to read the second half of the scripture. And this one I'm reading in the New Living Translation because it just says it so good. It says, for whatever is in your heart determines what you say. So see why it's important to be thinking the right thoughts? Because whatever's in our heart, whatever's in our mind is what's going to come out of our mouth. And our words are the establishing witness between blessing life, justification, or cursing death and condemnation. So it's very important that we speak right. But to speak right, we have to have our heart and our mind right. And our mind transformed because we don't want to be saying the wrong things. We're going to 1 Peter 3:9-10. Okay. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. So how do we get blessed? By blessing others. Even if somebody has done us wrong, our part is to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. And we're to bless everybody we come in contact with. Even those that, you know, would be angry with us or be treating us bad, our part is just to bless them. Hallelujah. And that's how we inherit blessing. That's how, when we bless, we get blessed. Verse 10, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. So if we love life, we need to guard what we say. Hallelujah. Going to Psalms 34:12-13. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit, which is lies. So we don't want lies or anything evil coming out of our mouth because we desire life. And we're liver lovers. We love life. We like to live. And so as liver lovers, we need to talk right. Hallelujah. James compares the tongue with the rudder of a ship. Our words determine our destination. The rudder of the ship is what guides the ship to where it's going. And our words guide our life. And if we're saying the wrong words, we're going the wrong direction. And so we have to be careful. I'm going to read a portion from a book by Paul Yonggi Cho called The Fourth Dimension. And he said, one morning I was eating with one of Korea's leading neurosurgeons who was telling me about various medical findings on the operation of the brain. He asked, Dr. Cho, did you know that the speech center in the brain rules over all the nerves? The speech center of the brain rules over all the nerves? You ministers really have power because according to our recent findings in neurology, the speech center in the brain has total dominion over all other nerves. Interesting. Okay, then this is Dr. Cho again. He said, then I laughed saying, I've known that for a long time. How did you know that? He asked. In the world of neurology, these are new findings. I replied that I had learned them from Dr. James. Hallelujah. We're going to read James 3:4-5. See what Dr. James has to say about it. He knows. He knew a long time before the neurosurgeon. I can't even say it now. Neurosurgeons knew it. Amen. Okay, look also at the ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Words spoken wrong can set a forest on fire. You know, they're powerful. Words are very powerful. And even though our tongue is small, it's powerful. I just have to stop and tell a joke, and it really is corny, but my dad always said it. He said, one day a preacher was preaching on gossip, and he was just talking about gossip. And at the time, there was altars in the church, and people would come and pray at the altar. And he told the people, you guys need to just come and lay your tongues on the altar, meaning that you need to give your tongue to the Lord. That's what he was trying to say. And after church, on the way out, Sister Bucketmouth came by, and she was so angry. And she said, how do you expect me to lay my tongue on the altar? He says, well, just put all you can on and let the rest of it hang off. Anyway, that was just free. Proverbs 18:20-21. That was my daddy's joke first. Okay. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. That's saying our provision comes from the way we speak. That's pretty clear. And then 21, we hear all the time, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And so whatever we're speaking is going to be bringing death to us, or it's going to be bringing life to us. So it's important to speak God's word. Romans 10:9 in the Message says, it's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. When we speak in faith, the word of God, it invites God to come and bless us and set things right for us. Hallelujah. I love that. I'll just read it again. It's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. Hallelujah. When we speak faith-filled words, it releases heaven to work in our behalf. Psalms 103, verse 20. Says, bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. So when we speak the word of the Lord, when we read the word and receive it as the living voice of God and speak it out, it sets the angels in action in our behalf. They work to they help bring forth the word. Hallelujah. It says they who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. So the angels go into action when we speak God's word. One way that the word of the Lord goes forth is through the gift of prophecy. Prophecy is a supernatural inspired utterance in a known language. When we speak in tongues, it enables man to speak to God supernaturally. But when we prophesy, it enables God to speak to us or through us supernaturally. That's prophecy. God speaking to us or through us. And it's his voice going forth. Hallelujah. Prophetic declaration or action is something said or done in the natural realm at the direction of God that prepares the way for him to move in the spiritual realm, and then it affects change in the natural realm. I was going to go into this later, but like in Genesis, when the world was created, God said it was spoken in the spiritual realm, and then it affected the natural realm. When God speaks things in the spirit realm, when prophetic words go forth in the spirit realm, it then turns and affects the natural realm. And like prophecy that comes from God's people, they speak with their voice. So it's something that happens in the natural realm, but it goes into the spirit realm, and then that spirit realm, it turns around and affects things in the natural realm. And sometimes it's immediately, and sometimes there's a space of time there. Like when God told Abraham and Sarah they were going to have a baby, it was a prophetic word of the Lord that was spoken naturally, but it went into the heaven, and eventually they had the baby that was promised. It was a while. That will promise it was a while before it came to pass, but it was spoken in the natural realm, it was done in the spirit realm, and then it happened in the natural realm in God's perfect time. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14. We're going to read verse 1 and then verse 3. Okay, verse 1 says, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." I mean, we need all the gifts, and whatever gift of the Spirit we need at the time is what we need, and that's, you know, one of the best gifts. But he said, especially that you may prophesy, because when we prophesy, we give God voice in the earth, and that voice is creative, and it sets the things in motion. It's really powerful. Okay, verse 3. "But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men." So the purpose of prophecy is to edify, to exhort, and to bring comfort. And so prophecy builds up. Prophecy will see God's purpose and plan in a person. I've seen this work so many times through my life, where people receive prophetic words of the Lord, and maybe at the time it wasn't at all like they were living, but they heard God's purpose and plan for them, and that drew them after God's heart. It became like a magnet that drew them toward the will and plan of God. It just works that way. The prophecy isn't for uncovering the dirt in a person's life. Prophecy is for finding the gold and bringing it to the surface. Hallelujah. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 31. Says, "For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged." How many can prophesy? All. That was prophesied in Acts 2, that they would all prophesy. So it says, you can all prophesy. That's a gift that God wants every one of his children to operate in. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. Says, "How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification." So any prophetic words need to edify and build up. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55:11. It says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it." So when God's word go forth, it's going to bring back a harvest. It said it will not return void. When God's word goes forth, it will accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. And it'll prosper in the thing for which I sent it. And here, too, this isn't according to our timing, but according to God's timing. So when prophetic word goes forth, it's in God's timing when it's to happen. But it has set it in motion. It's set in motion. Hallelujah. Prophecy gives voice to the purpose and plan of God. Jesus spoke to the sea and said, "Be still." In the midst of a big storm, he said, "Be still." And what happened? The sea obeyed him. Just calmed right down. Ezekiel prophesied to the dead dry bones, and they came to life. That prophetic word of the Lord going forth caused dead dry bones to come to life. Hallelujah. Jeremiah prophesied to the nations. Therefore, hear ye nations. Micah prophesied to the earth. Remember, Moses said to Pharaoh, let my people go. And that was God speaking through Moses. I mean, Moses wasn't anybody to command Pharaoh, but God was speaking through Moses, and he said, let my people go. And God's people went in time. Pharaoh would have been a lot better off if he would have said okay the first time God spoke. His resistance cost him dearly. When we receive prophetic words from the Lord, it's really awesome when we write them down and we go over them. So what we're doing is when we read prophetic words, write them down, and then think about them, it's like thinking about the word. We see what God says to us in his word, and when we read it, we just put it in our mind. We transform our mind. And when we read the prophetic words, things that God wants to do, what we're doing is transforming our mind to be in agreement with God's will and God's plan and what he wants to do. We begin to condition ourselves for what he wants. I'm going to read a few prophecies, and then we're going to make some decrees about some of them. Decrees are just speaking forth the word of the Lord. Like, just, yeah, I agree with that. We received a prophecy. There's a prophet that we've known for a long time, Jorge Chao, down in Delicia, Chihuahua. And he just, on January 12th, he sent us a word, and there's a whole letter here, but I'm just going to read the prophetic words. He says, I declare over your ministry, open heavens. Remember when Jacob was on his way back home with all of his family, and he went and he laid down and went to sleep on a rock, and then he dreamed a dream and he saw the angels. That was before he got his family. Okay. Was that in Bethel? Okay. Anyway, he had a dream and saw angels going up and coming down from heaven. So, and then God spoke to him. And later he said, you know, there were open heavens. Heaven opened, and I heard the Lord. Surely this is an awesome place. Anywhere we hear God is an open place. But open heavens means that there's just a free passage between heaven and us where the angels can come and go and respond to God's word. And we hear the word of the Lord. And so we just decree in the name of Jesus that this is a year of open heavens. And everyone in my hearing tonight, I want you to say, this is a year of open heavens for me. I will hear the voice of the Lord, and there will be opening between me and heaven. Yes, we'll receive from heaven in this year. Amen. And the next thing he said is that doors that had been shut, opening. You know, there, we've had places we've wanted to go in the Lord, and even naturally, that have been shut. There's places that we have wanted to go in the spirit realm that have been shut. And there's places that we've wanted to go in the natural. We've had maybe dreams of a better living situation, a better job, or a business, or whatever dreams that's been in our hearts and visions that God has put there. Hallelujah. And so we just thank you, Jesus, for open doors this year. Amen. Just say, thank you, Jesus, for opening doors this year. I will go into those places God's called me to go. Yes, and God has good things. He wants to bless us financially. He wants to bless us spiritually. He wants us to move into the doors of being a blessing to other people, bringing people to Jesus, bringing people into the kingdom, healing the sick. Hallelujah. This is open doors. And I know Nina's had several prophecies about her, you know, paths that have been closed or opening. It's an opening time for us that's following the Lord. Hallelujah. The next thing that he said, closing those doors that's not meaningful anymore. You know, sometimes we've walked in places that at once were right, but they just aren't working anymore. They're not meaningful anymore. You know, and even in God's kingdom, sometimes we have assignments that are temporary that we may finish with. And sometimes we do things in the church world even that worked wonderful one time, and then the next time, you know, they're just not really working. They're really not meaningful anymore. And all of us have those things. We don't want to be busy just for the sake of being busy. We want to be doing what God wants us to do, because then it'll be productive. So we thank you, Lord, that the doors will close and that are not meaningful anymore, that will, yeah. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. The next thing that he said was heavenly encounters with persons who are in need of our abilities and wisdom. I just know in my spirit that Douglas is full of people that are hungry and crying out and in need. And we want divine encounters with those people to bring them the wisdom and the word of the Lord and what they are so hungry and starving for. So, Lord, I thank you for this. This year is a year of divine encounters to those people that are reaching out and hungry for you, Father. Amen. Thank you for divine encounters. Hallelujah. And heavenly encounters with those persons who hold the things that we are in need of. He said the spare parts. He's a farmer and works with equipment. He said divine encounters with those people that have the spare parts that we need. You know, sometimes we need things in our lives that we don't have, but somebody else will have them. You know, there's talents that we need in the church. There's things that we personally need that someone has. And Lord, we thank you that this is a year of divine encounters with those people that have what we need. Mm-hmm. Just like you will send us to people that we have what they need, we ask you to send us, give us divine encounters with people that have what we need. Amen. Hallelujah. We just thank you, Father, for it. Hallelujah. Here's some prophetic words that came forth in prayer in 06. This is 15, so that's 9 years ago. I'm supposed to be good at math. I can't even figure that out. I love math, and so anyway. The new generation, this generation is coming forth to make the way for years to come. And God is raising up young people that will have a zeal for God that is going to burn hot and long. And he is going to raise up an army of young people from Douglas. And I'm talking about an army much more than could fit in our church or all the churches in town. There's a revival coming to the youth. And they are going to rise up and they're going to carry this revival for generations to come. Amen. Many births. Well, the Lord said, let me go back a little bit, that this church is a base of coming and going, like a military base, not a normal church. It's God's original idea of the church. It's going to be known as Healing Central and Revival Central. Many births, souls, plans, and purposes in this place. And there's a very bright light extending out all ways, but especially north. An epicenter of light going out, and it's going to be Revival Central. Flames of fire will shoot out all over the state. We'll send the best to the west. Restoration and unity of brethren in this area. So there'll be a restoration ministries. And this is a whole lot of what I have seen for many, many years. I have carried a vision in my heart of such a move of God in this place that it's going to be bigger than all of the churches put together. It's just going to be a mighty harvest of souls. I've seen it. I've seen it happening. And we pray continually in our prayer times, Father, let your people that called by your name have a heart of love, have a servant's heart to one another. Instead of being in competition with one another, our attitude should be, how can we help you? How can we serve you? How can we pray for you? How can we lift you up? That's God's heart, and that's our heart. And, there's no room for competition in God's family. There just isn't. There's just no place for it. Jesus said, they'll know you are Christians by your love. That's what identifies Christians, is their love. Their love for God and their love for one another. Hallelujah. That's who we are and who we're growing to be. He's calling us to bring forth revival, not like waves of the past rise up, but to stay up on a wave of leadership to teach the young. We've seen this. Revivals of the past, we've read about them, they'll come up big and then they'll die down and they'll come up big. But I believe God's starting a flame that's going to catch and it's going to stay up because it's going to catch the young. It's going to catch the children, the youth. It's going to catch, it's going to be multi-generational. You know, the babies are going to be filled with the Spirit. The young people are going to be filled with the Spirit. The children are going to have a passion for God. And it's so important to give the vision and the fire to the young, to the young, to the young, to the young, because they're going to carry it. And that it just keep rotating and growing with every generation. Hallelujah. The fire of God. And there's something special about something powerful when there's a move of the Spirit that involves every age group, multi-generational. It's powerful when there's no division, but in the Spirit we're one. And we're flowing together, prophesying together, moving in the Spirit together as one. It's a very powerful thing. Hallelujah. It says the schools are on fire and young people will go to the dark corners of the earth with the light. And it says a dome covering here in Mexico and laborers to be trained on each side. Then a little over a year ago in some of our prayer walking, and I don't even remember who saw this, but someone said, I saw a wave of the Spirit, a new wave that's going to enter through Douglas and go out. Mark saw a vision. He saw people prayer walking, and he said they're like white blood cells to the body, and Douglas will live. The blood cells will move through Douglas, healing antibodies of Christ to every organ that is failing. All the germs and viruses and sicknesses will be washed out. All harm done will be healed, and all harm coming will be dodged or destroyed. Jesus is the doctor of our city, of our nation, and is here to heal. Illness and disease will be destroyed by the antibodies of Christ. This means a lot to me. I know God has his people that's praying all over town. You know, we've done a lot of prayer walking around town, and I know other churches have done prayer walking too. But we've went out beseeching God for our city. And here it says Douglas will live. Someone just today said Douglas is dying. It's just dying. Douglas is dying. No, Douglas will live because there's people here calling on the name of the Lord. Douglas will live. We're making an appeal to heaven that God will touch our community. Douglas will live. Douglas will live and not die. There's some things that need to die in Douglas that are of the kingdom of darkness. But God's kingdom is going to live. And Douglas will live. So we're crying out for our town. Hallelujah. And I just know Douglas will live. And the blood cells, it says people that are praying are white blood cells to the body. And the blood cells will move through Douglas healing And it says antibodies of Christ to every organ that's failing. Everything that's failing in Douglas will live because of the people standing in prayer. It's our prayers will bring life to our town. To the areas that's failing, there will be life. And this is more than physical healing coming. It's spiritual healing coming. All the harm done will be healed. And there's been some harm done in our community. There's been a lot of harm done in our community. We've done the wrong things. We've sinned as a community. But it's going to be healed. Hallelujah. Jesus is the doctor of Douglas, of our nation, and he's here to heal. Hallelujah. And then Peter saw a vision of a dome over Douglas. And when people enter the dome, they'll be healed. And people will travel here from other places just to get healed. And Douglas will be known as Healing Central. And there's some other prophecies that I hadn't brought, but Denise's mom, Ruth, gave bought prophecies a long time about healing flowing here. She said people will come here from all over the nations because there's going to be a healing anointing here. Hallelujah. And so we believe that. We believe that that's going to be an anointing. And we're crying out for our city. And we're praying for divine visitations from heaven. That people will begin to have dreams and visions of Jesus. The Esqueda brothers, Tony and Luis, in their a lot of years ago, they were just old drunks. And they were at the dump drinking one night. And a bright light came down right where they were out there in the dump drinking. A bright light came. And they sobered up immediately and both gave their hearts to the Lord. And they're still living for the Lord. God can touch people wherever they are. And we're praying for there to be an open heaven over our town where people will begin to have visitations from God. And those visitations from God will wake them up in the spirit and they'll surrender their lives to the Lord. When we were small children, there was a revival in a rural area where we lived. And it was like there was just an anointing over all of the area. There were a lot of farmers back then. And farmers would be out on their tractors. And all of a sudden, they would turn their tractor off and get down on the ground and fall down crying. God would visit them and they would give their hearts to the Lord. Dramatic conversion. God can meet people where they are. There's hundreds, if not thousands, of Muslims right now that are having visions of Jesus Christ. We heard about last week a man that knows a son of one of the leaders of one of the Muslim nations recently met with a friend of his and said, I've been having visions of Jesus. Tell me more. Tell me more about Jesus. Hallelujah. We have a God that is moving upon humanity, and he's going to move in our town, and he's going to give us divine encounters with people that are hungry, but God is also going to show himself to people where they are. He's going to visit our town. Sunday morning when we were praying before church in here, and I was praying, and I saw a huge firework display. And God said, I am going to show up in Douglas where every person will see my glory and my power. You know, when we have a fireworks display here, you know, if you're outside, you're going to see the fireworks going off no matter where you are. God is going to show his power and glory in a way where every person will know that there's a God that's alive and glorious and powerful. He's going to display his glory for all to see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We heard a lot of wonderful prophetic words in this last week, but I want to read some other prophetic words, just pieces. This man, I'm going to read his prophetic words, is a missionary in China, and it's like pages long, but I'm just going to read portions to you because it's the same things we were hearing all week. It says, when a nation shakes, so too will come a great shaking to the religious and financial institutions. Many will reel to and fro, searching for answers. What to some is a catastrophe will to others be an opportunity. Those who are prepared, who know my ways and are led by my spirit, will be positioned to take advantage of this opportunity and advance my kingdom on earth. What can be shaken will be shaken, and much will be shaken naturally, economically, politically, culturally, and in many other ways. It's a time of shaking. Even the very foundations of society will be shaken. But one thing will not be shaken. My word is an everlasting rock upon which you must build your lives and order your steps. Only those who do so will emerge unscaled and untouched by the events in the times ahead. It is time for my people to live their lives based upon my word, to be doers and not only hearers of it. It is necessary. It's an imperative for my people in this day and this hour. And then going on down a ways, it says, there are resources hidden beneath your soil that you know not of yet. But at the proper time, I will pull back the curtain to reveal them so that my people and my plan will continue their advance. Pockets and pools, depths, oceans. I am the God who sees ahead, and I have already provided everything you will ever need. Some would say, oh, but this person or that group would block us from using any of these resources, so what's the use to us? But I would say, have you not read in my word, the righteous will shine in the end? Did I not say that you are kings and priests, that you will rule and reign with me? And so it shall be that as my church arises to her rightful place of authority and dominion, blockades will begin to fall as my people exercise their divine rights in me. You rule, you reign, so take your rightful place in me and begin to do business of the kingdom. Begin to exercise your authority in the earth, and you will see changes taking place. Changes politically, changes spiritually, changes in many different ways. And my people will begin to rise to the potential that was theirs all along, and they will realize and walk in it. This goes along with some of the things we heard in prophecy this week and or this last week in Tucson. Heard it through different speakers up there, but Judy Jacobs, when she was praying in the morning, Cindy Jacobs, she was praying in the morning and she saw a map of Arizona, and across the map was written wealth, and she said, "There's a lot of riches getting ready to be uncovered in Arizona." We've known, we've had mines, we've had copper, we've had things, but the Lord was saying that there's a whole lot of things hidden that have not been discovered yet, but it's going to be discovered, and God is going to bring prosperity to our state. And she said, Texas has been a wealthy state, but he said Arizona is going to put Texas on the run because God is going to develop some things here. And that just goes along with some things that I've been feeling in my spirit. I feel God has things for us, for his people, that he's going to put things. He's going to bring things to our remembrance. There's a lot of hidden things that are not hidden from God. And one of the ways we can find out is to pray in the Spirit. And he'll give us the interpretation. God can tell us his secrets and things that man doesn't know. We heard a lot of testimonies of that this last week, of how the man that invented cookies and cream ice cream, he was just driving to go grocery shopping at the grocery store, and he was praying in tongues, and it came out in tongues, cookies and cream ice cream. And he's like, he began to try it and experiment with it. Well, he is a multimillionaire today because God gave him the idea for cookies and cream ice cream. There's things that will make money, and God has the answer. There's nothing secret with him, and he wants to reveal things to his people. And I could give you testimonies all day long of God showing things to his people, inventions, things that can bless them. Hallelujah. And so just keep your ears open to God for ideas. Pray in the Spirit. Keep your ears open. Hallelujah. Then on down it says, there's a light that's coming. It is shining brightly upon the earth, and it will only increase. So although the world will see the darkness that has fallen upon it, this light will also be on the increase. And my people who are clothed with this light will shine brightly and more brightly as they surrender their wills and their ways to me. I'll use my servants and handmaidens, just as I said before, to do great exploits on earth. And then on down it says, and so it is time for my people to rise out of spiritual lethargy and begin to take hold of my word and its promises. Time for my people to begin to take their rightful place of spiritual authority and exercise that authority on behalf of others. It's time for a shift in season, for time is drawing closer and closer to the end time when it'll be swallowed up into eternity where there will need no more time. And so it is for this time and season that my people who know my voice will be like the tribe of Issachar, who had understanding of the times and knew what Israel ought to do. You will be sharp, spiritually understanding the time and season you're in. You will know what you need to be doing. I will show you what my will is so that you might follow it. And as you do, you will enter into a new place in me where you will taste of my goodness and experience my provision, not only for yourself, but for the sake of others as well. So do not draw back from me, but draw nearer to me. It's time for you to come closer to me than you have ever been before. I invite you to do so. I love you and long for you to be close to me, for I would share things with you that are on my heart. I would show you of my plans and purposes. I would reveal myself to you in a far greater power. I lost my place. I will reveal myself to you in a far greater way than I have before, and I would use you in a mighty way to share my love and power with people all around you. All it takes is a step, just one step in my direction, and I will accept you and transform you. You are at the doorway of a new beginning, and as you step into it, I will guide you further into all I've designed for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we just love God so much, and we're so hungry for him. Lord, I just thank you for this time that we've had listening to your word tonight. Lord, I thank you that that word will come alive in our hearts and burn in our hearts. And we just thank you, Lord. Oh, we just thank you, Father. This night, right now, we say, Lord, I surrender to you. I surrender to you all that I am, all that I have. It is yours, Father. We just worship you. We worship you. We praise you. And we put ourselves into your hands, and we ask that your will and purpose and plan be accomplished in every person tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If there's anyone here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as your Lord, it's very easy to step into that kingdom of light and step into the love of God. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and you'd like to know him, just come up here and I'll just be happy to pray with you. God's just calling out tonight and saying, come home to me. Come home to my arms of love and I'll hold you and comfort you and give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah. If you need prayer for anything else tonight, we would be happy to pray for you because our God is a good God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just thank you that we have divine visitations from you, that in the daytime, in the nighttime, your spirit will surround us, that we will have a hunger for you greater than we've ever had before, that we will cast off lethargy and ho-hum, and that we will passionately pursue you and our fellowship with you, Father, that we visit with you in the day, in the night, through the good, through the fight, Lord, that we will stay with our focus on you. We will keep our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ and his purpose and his plan, that we won't worry about the future, that we won't worry about the things that we can't control, but that our trust will be in the Lord, that we will trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, and that we won't lean to our own understanding. We thank you, Lord, that we'll acknowledge you in all of our ways and that you will direct our paths. We just thank you for it, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll just Be blessed. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just worship you. Let's worship you, Lord. No, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's some that's still just seeking the Lord. Just continue to wait on the Lord. And those that need to move will go ahead and move out. But there's some that God's just touching your heart right now and talking to you. And Father, we just thank you for your presence right here in this place. Thank you for your presence, for your life, for your love. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Just love you, Jesus. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence here, for your love here. Love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you. We love you. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your loving kindness to us, your tender mercies towards us. Thank you, Lord, that you prepare a table before us, even in the presence of our enemies, that you're there, that we fellowship with you, that you feed us and minister to us, Lord. We just thank you for it, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for your